Hello and welcome to the Money Talk podcast. I'm Ed Monk. Today on the show, we are, like you, waking up to a US presidential election that is yet to be decided. Markets, however, are already reacting to what they know, and that's our focus today. What should investors be on watch for this week as the results firm up, but also in the coming months as well? If you enjoy the show, please rate us, share us, or leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. It was always an outside bet that we would see a clear result on the morning after the 2020 US presidential election. And indeed, we are being made to wait to know who the president will be. There are some things we do know, however, and we can begin to see the market making its mind up about the likely political scenarios from here. To discuss it all, I'm joined, as always, by Tom Stevenson, Investment Director here at Fidelity. Tom, thanks for joining me. I know you were up very early responding to the election results, so thanks for joining me here today. Let's say at the start, shall we, that we both stand, you and I, Tom, to be made to look hopelessly out of date by all this, because results are coming in still as we talk here on Wednesday morning. And the picture will likely to have changed by the time anyone actually listens to this. But we're going to do our best to talk not only about the ongoing events of the election, but of the likely reactions in markets over the weeks and the months ahead. Tom, what were you actually able to say in response to the election results that we have seen this morning?
Yes, thanks, Ed, very much. I mean, I think, you know, what's clear from the results that we've seen so far is that America, of course, is split right down the middle. It's a divided States of America rather than a United States of America, quite clearly. And I think what we've also learned is that the American voting system is fiendishly complicated and is capable of leading to rather strange results. You know, it is entirely possible that that one of the candidates can get millions fewer votes than the other candidate and still, by dint of those votes being in the right place, end up winning the presidency. So, you know, what we didn't find out so far this morning is, of course, who the next president will be come
the
January.
Important bit.
Exactly. We didn't exactly the important bit. We didn't find out who's going to win. And nor, perhaps more importantly, did we find out whether they whether they're going to be presiding over a united or a divided government. And as we've discussed a bit in the past, or certainly in pieces that I've written recently, that is, from an investor's perspective, is probably the key question, more important even than who is in the White House.
Yeah, let's recap on some of this, because, like I say, we are going to be out of date. We can't really avoid that when you're covering events like this. It could be that someone, you know, finds a way with states that are still to declare, finds a day in the next day or so to win. That's more likely to be Biden, but that outcome is not particularly likely. It's likely that we'll at least need results from places like Pennsylvania. That's going to take longer. And there could even be court challenges after that as well. So we really may not know for days about the who the next president is. But like you said there, Tom, there seems to be a bit more certainty around the Senate race. And as I'm sure you'll explain, that's a very important part of this, particularly from the point of view of markets and investors. There was a hope of a blue wave sweeping not just the White House, but also Senate and Congress as well. It doesn't look like that will happen. What's the effect of Republicans holding on to the Senate on the assumption that they do, of course?
Yes, you're right. I mean, just dealing with the presidency, first of all, it does seem, you know, as we speak, to be coming down to a handful of key battleground states. In fact, exactly the same battleground states that it came down to 4 years ago. So we still don't know the results in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and we think that we may have to wait until Friday for the result in Pennsylvania. We may get the other two a bit earlier. But the Senate is really important. Why is it so important to investors? Well, the importance of the Senate is that they are a check and balance on the president. It's very difficult for a president to push through any agenda without the support of Congress. The Democrats control the House of Representatives, but currently the Republicans control the Senate. And it looks increasingly likely that they may hold on to a majority in the Senate. And what that means is that Joe Biden, you know, if he were to win, has an agenda of big government spending, a big fiscal stimulus. Our analysts here at Fidelity have put in the run-up to the election, they put a figure of as much as $8 trillion of spending over the four-year period of the next presidential term. But that would only be possible with a big Democratic majority in the Senate. If that's unlikely, then it's very unlikely that we're going to get spending anything like that amount, regardless of who wins the presidency. So, you know, why is that important? Well, lots of government spending is seen as a positive for parts of the stock market, the more cyclical, the more economically sensitive parts of the stock market. If we don't get that, then some of the bets which investors took in the last couple of days running up to the election, you know, are going to be reversed and unwound.
Yeah, well, let's turn to that market reaction, Tom, because, yeah, as you say, first of all, what was this pattern in stock markets in the days leading up to the vote? It was interesting, the companies that were gaining in that period. What did investors expect to happen, or what were they hopeful would happen, and how is that matching up with reality?
Well, what investors did was they looked at the polls. They saw that the odds of this blue sweep that you've mentioned were rising, and they made the assumption that would increase the possibility of this big fiscal spending. It would help the cyclical sectors. It would mean that investors were less focused on sheltering within the safety of the more defensive stocks, the high growth stocks, the technology stocks, which had driven the market in the last few months and years. So there was a bit of a rotation going on in the couple of days leading up to the election, away from these technology stocks and towards the more cyclical areas, the industrials, even the financials. That drove the market, or those parts of the market, on Monday and Tuesday. And what we have, what we're beginning to see now, is that rotation is swinging back again. And I suspect we may continue to see that reversal.
Well, let's talk about exactly what markets have done. I mean, this is moving all the time, of course, but there was resilience, I would say, in European markets this morning. FTSE down a bit at the open, but then in positive territory. DAX, I think, slightly down. They probably are hedging their bets still, aren't they? I mean, it's point taken about the Senate and stimulus and all the rest of it, that looks further away, but it's hard to look at markets as any kind of barometer here, isn't it?
The trouble is there's too much going on at the moment to really draw any firm conclusions. I mean, yes, what's happening in the US is obviously important, and this fiscal stimulus is a key driver of markets. But I think that markets had, yes, they were leaning that way, but they had anticipated a degree of uncertainty about that result. So that was priced in. We've also got everything else that's going on, especially on this side of the Atlantic with the COVID situation. That's clearly a negative for economic growth in the region. So we've got a bit of a two-way pull going on in markets at the moment. So it's quite difficult to disaggregate that and see what's going on.
Indeed. Well, let's try, Tom, if we can, to look a bit further out from just the immediate events. Notwithstanding all that we don't know about the election. It is easy to forget, I guess, that the world continues to turn, the economic world continues to turn, companies are out there still trading, and actually there's evidence to suggest that trading is holding up, certainly in the US. Perhaps it's one of those times to tune out of this kind of ongoing daily noise for a bit and sort of forget about your portfolio.
Yes, I mean, so interesting, you mentioned the companies there, and that is the third element. That's if it's not really a two-way pull, it's probably a three-way pull, actually, because we've got the US election, we've got the COVID situation. We've also got the underlying driver of markets, which, of course, is company earnings. And we're in the middle of third quarter earnings season at the moment. Interestingly, that is going surprisingly well. I mean, we're more than half the way through the US earnings season. We've had more than 60% of the S&P 500 companies have announced their results for the third quarter. And about 85% of them have beaten expectations. And they've beaten expectations by a reasonably substantial margin. So, you know, that's a positive for investors. And, you know, and it does suggest that, you know, as we've already identified, there are clearly winners as well as losers from the current economic and health situation. And they are balancing each other out. Expectations have been low. Expectations are tending to be beaten. And I think that's a positive for the market.
Okay, well, Tom, on that positive note, thank you so much for joining me. I feel it may not be the last time we talk about the 2020 US election here on the podcast. But for now, at least, Tom, thanks very much.
Thanks, Ed.
You've been listening to the Money Talk podcast. Check fidelity.co.uk for daily written updates and articles on these and other topics from across Fidelity in the UK. And subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast downloaded direct to your devices every week. Please be aware that the value of investments and the income you get from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information doesn't constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Eligibility to invest in an ISA or a pension and the value of tax savings depends on personal circumstances, and all tax rules may change. You will not normally be able to access money held in a pension until the age of 55. Reference to specific securities or funds should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities or funds and is included for the purpose of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you're unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor.